What is it that we are celebrating on this holy night? A poem by that great poet, Carl Sandburg, tells it beautifully. A baby slung in a feed box, back in a barn, in a Bethlehem slum. A baby's first cry mixed with the crunch of a mule's teeth on Bethlehem's Christmas grain. Baby fists softer than snowflakes in Norway. The vagabond mother of Christ. And the vagabond men of wisdom all in a barn on a winter night. And a baby there in swaddling clothes on hay. Why does that story never, ever wear out? In so many ways, we discover that the precious gift of our faith, handed on to us through the generations of Christianity, is the most murky and the most fleshy of all religions in the entire world. Christianity is incarnational. It means literally in the flesh of a God who became human just like each one of us. That's why whenever anyone doubts us, we always say in reply, I give you my word. We cannot doubt the word of God to us. He has nothing else to tell us except that word, that he has given us his all in his Son, Jesus Christ. God's word, the Father's word, was made flesh and dwelled here among us. Everything else is trappings. Christ really was born, as each one of us was born in Bethlehem. And his birth tells us that he can be born in us if we choose to let him. It means that Bethlehem can be any town, any city. It means that Christ is inviting us people to give birth in our lives to the healing peace and the service and the selflessness that he came to preach. What is so ironic is that we people who do profess Christianity make that belief so difficult for other people to understand. For example, we have completed more than a decade of violence in Northern Ireland. And during that time, more than 2,000 people were killed in the very name of the various factions of our own dear Christianity. And we know there are plenty of Northern Irelands all around the globe, each one with its own unique kind of violence. And we people here in the Western Hemisphere have a subtle violence that we embrace, economic violence. We people are gluttons of the resources of our good earth. Tonight, 2/3 of our world will go to bed hungry, presuming, of course, that they do have beds. And yet, of course, we do watch their famine on our colored TVs, from the comfort of our armchairs, with our bellies full. That's why we can say tonight, we are indeed a very fleshy lot. But it is the flesh, our flesh, that needs transforming tonight. And that is precisely the reason why we have gathered here tonight to celebrate this mystery of the Incarnation. Tonight we celebrate the mystery of God who became part of our flesh in order to transform our own personal human flesh. In Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, Jesus did create a new dimension for all human events. As he said later on, I came to make all things new. And despite any contrary opinion, Christianity has always been a world-affirming faith that the world and all in it and all people are good. Christianity starts wherever we are, and it transforms us. As a matter of fact, the very feast that we celebrate tonight is really that kind of a transformation. It all began in the 4th century when the people of the early Roman times would celebrate the winter solstice tonight because tomorrow begins the lengthening of daytime by 1 minute each day. The Christian people decided to take a pagan feast, which was called the Sol Invictus, or the Invincible Sun, to show the sun in the sky could never be conquered. And the Christian people took tonight and turned it into the birthday of the Son of God, the Prince of Light. And so today's feast is used to mark the gift of God Himself when He took our human flesh. It is in this joining of humanity with divinity that we all have personally the wonderful possibility of our own personal transformation. We all carry within our heart the seed of new hope for the future, the life of the risen Lord planted within us is ours. And that is precisely why today's growing triviality and plain greed of our modern Christmas celebration has become so unspeakably depressing. There can be no doubt that here in our own beloved Western world, our observance of this beautiful feast today contains more fantasy than fact, more tinsel than truth, more revelry than religion, more commercial exploitation than prayerful expectation. We have turned the celebration of Christmas into a myth, upside down and inside out and backwards. We're supposed to celebrate it now for 12 days, not 30 days before. But Christmas, you see, on its own is not enough. It does not give us the whole picture that we need to understand its impact on our lives. The baby in the manger is not the whole story, because birth is only the very first stage of a person's life. And it's so very easy simply to be carried along on a tide of sentimentality now at Christmas time. But as you know, and I know, that cannot last very long, perhaps not till tomorrow night. We must remember that the baby Jesus did grow up, the same as all other babies grow up, and he became an adult. Today, more than ever, we need a grown-up Jesus. And we have to see his birth in relation to all the rest of his life, to understand that that cuddly little bundle in the manger grew up to become the person who scathingly denounced the religious officials of his own day. And the little baby who started life in Bethlehem later said, He who loses his life will find it. And that is the invitation given to each one of us. And that's what he did. He lost his life on the cross. This baby, born in a little wooden crib, hung on a wooden cross on Good Friday. And Jesus did not just happen to lose his life. He lost it because he did the will of his Father and lived out the good news for us. And that is the ultimate transformation that is promised to each one of us on this Christmas night. That darkness in our life can always be changed into light. That moments of little death in our life can be changed into new life. The infant Jesus, the crucified Christ, and the risen Lord, they are all one person. The infant Jesus, the crucified Christ, and the risen Lord are all one. That is why the crucifix of wormwood is placed here against the wood of the Christmas tree. And the glorified Christ coming in glory on the back wall of the sanctuary. To help us understand visually that the mystery that is presented here in the Eucharist tonight is one. Made present here tonight in the Eucharist is the birth of Christ in our heart, the death of Christ in our heart, and his coming again in glory. They are all one mystery. And those mysteries are ours. They all give us a call to lose our life so that our lives can be transformed. And in turn, we can transform this broken world. A God who became human has made us divine. We are daughters and sons of God. We have within our hearts the divine life of our God. It means that we have work to do. It means that when the song of the angels is stilled, and when the star in the Christmas sky is gone, when the kings have gone back home again, and the shepherds are back with their flock, it is then that the work of Christmas begins for us. To find the people who are lost. To heal those who are brokenhearted. To feed the hungry. To release the prisoners. People in captivity of any kind. To rebuild the nations. And to bring peace to our broken sisters and brothers. But tonight, to make music in our hearts.